Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you here this morning. Appreciate your presence so that we can study God's Word together. That is probably my favorite song that we sing. And if you really pay attention to the words of the song, it's a journey of an individual that goes from look at me and look at what I've done to if my death can point others to you, then that's what I'll do. And so it's a really beautiful song. It's one of my favorites. I was excited when Mr. David sends me the songs and the verses, and then I put together the PowerPoint. And when I saw that one in the list, I was excited because I always like when we sing that song. A few quick announcements. Number one, I will not be shaking hands at the back tonight, or today, or tonight. I don't know what I have. It's not COVID. I know that, but it's something. I'm blaming my son because he had something last week, so it's his fault, whatever it is. But whatever it is, I don't want to give it to you. And so I will be at the back, but I will have my hands behind my back. If you want to touch elbows or something, we can do that. Or we can touch feet, but I'm not going to shake hands because I don't want to run the risk of giving anyone else this. This is the first day I haven't felt worse, so I'm going to consider that I'm going to start moving in the right direction. The other announcement, and this one's important. Over in the fellowship hall, there are 6 copies of the directory. I need everyone, and I did 6, so there won't be just one copy that you're all fighting over. I need everyone at some point, whether it be today after services or tomorrow, we'll keep it out for a couple weeks, Wednesday night, but to go over there and check your information. Make sure that there'll be 3 things that you'll want to check. There's a list of anniversaries. If you're married, make sure your anniversary's there. If not, write it in. Birthdays, you want to make sure that all the birthdays are right for you and your children. And then there will be the actual directory list that will have names, address, phone number, email, all that stuff. And so check that stuff and make sure that that is right. If you get over there and you say, mine's not in here, that's because I don't have a sheet on you. So, sitting beside the directories are also directory information sheets. Grab one of those, fill it out, leave it back there. I'll pick those up. That way I can add it too. Once we get all that information, and I've got everyone's up to date from what I got last time. Once we get everything in there up to date, then we'll take photos. And once we get the photos done and put in there, then we can send it to the printer. And so it's over there. We're moving in that direction, but I need your help, because if everyone just like, oh, I'll check on it later, that just takes longer to get everything together and to get it all sent in. On the directory information sheet, if you fill one of those out, where it says children, that's children that are living with you. All right? If all of them have moved out, you finally got rid of them, then you don't have to put anybody down there, but that's mainly for the ones that are living with you. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul penned these words by inspiration concerning our singing. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In reference to our singing, Paul talks about the fact here that we are teaching and admonishing one another. In other words, our songs are not just songs to sing, but they are lessons that we're teaching. This is why it's so important that we make sure that the songs that we sing are teaching the truth. We need to make sure also that we understand what we're singing. Bobby Rawson, during our gospel meeting, made the comment a couple times, we sing a good theology, and we do. But let's make sure that we understand what we're singing and what we're saying with those songs. We have so many wonderful songs that we sing that praise God, but that also teach very valuable lessons to us as His children. And one such song is This World Is Not Our Home. And if you want to get a songbook out, it's number 545. We're going to reference this song this morning as we go through the lesson, as we look at the lessons that this song teaches. It's a beautiful song. It's an important song. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, after Paul has talked about some of the heroes of the faith. Now in verse 13, he's not done talking about them. He's going to continue to talk about them. But he pauses for a moment and says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." Stranger and exiles. And we see other words used in Scripture, sojourners, pilgrims, all of these words illustrating the fact that you and I, this is not our permanent home. This is not what we're looking for. And aren't you thankful for that? This world with its problems, with its aches, with its pains, with its difficulties, this isn't the end for you and for me. There's something greater that we're looking for. There's something greater that awaits us. Other verses in the Bible portray the same sentiment. And while for some this may cause fear, for the faithful Christian it's a source of great joy to know that we have a better place awaiting us. In John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3, as Jesus is trying to comfort His disciples. Remember, His crucifixion is looming. Y'all, their world is about to be turned upside down. For 3.5 years, they've walked with Jesus. For 3.5 years, they've seen the things that He's done. For 3.5 years, He's been their rock. And here in just a few days, He's going to be taken from them. That was going to be hard. So in John chapter 14, he begins by saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to a prayer place for you?" Jesus said, if it wasn't the case that there was enough room for everybody, why would I tell you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." As we think about the fact that this world is not our home, three things that we want to notice from this song, taking from three of its verses. Number one, in verse one, we notice that this world is a temporary dwelling. This world is a temporary dwelling. Verse one of the song says, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." As we think about this world, friends, everything physical is temporary. Everything physical is temporary. Three things that we want to notice. Number one, our lives are temporary. In James chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14, James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." A mist, a vapor, it's only seen for a moment, right? And then it's gone. Every morning I put the tea kettle on the eye, put the water in there, and I turn it on. And I wait for it to start whistling at me. I take it off, and after I pour out of it, I leave it open so that the water can cool off more quickly, because I don't want to hear that annoying whistle any longer. But you know, that vapor only comes out of it for just a little bit, and then it's done. And James says, that's our life. Y'all, we're only here for a short time. If you consider our life compared to the amount of time that the earth has been spinning, to the amount of time of eternity, y'all, it's just a drop in a bucket. It's a very short amount of time that we have here on this earth to affect the lives of others and to live a life for Christ. Job said, our days are few and full of trouble. Job 14:1. Friends, our physical lives here on this earth, they're temporary. This physical body, it wasn't meant to last forever. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that because mine's breaking down on me. It wasn't designed to last forever. Now we're going to receive a body one day that will last forever. But this physical body, our physical lives, friends, they're temporary. Number two, our stuff is temporary. I thought about different ways to word that, but really it's just stuff is about the only thing I came up with that I really liked. Our stuff is temporary. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon, of course, in the book of Ecclesiastes is talking about his life and how he struggled to find meaning and purpose. And in chapter 2, in the first 11 verses, he's talking about all these different physical things that he's acquired. He's talking about the pleasures that he had enjoyed. He talks about the men servants and the man servants that he had acquired, the building projects that he had done, all these different things, all this stuff. And then in verses 12 through 18, and he says, "So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do who comes after the king?" He says, "What the person who comes after me, what are they going to do?" He says, "Only what's already been done." "Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that," watch this now, "the same event happens to all of them." What does Solomon say? It doesn't matter. Wise, foolish, lots of stuff, no stuff. He says the same event happens to all of us. And of course, that event is death. "Then and I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life," he says, "because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind." Notice, this is a man who had it all. People traveled to hear the wisdom of Solomon, to see the things that Solomon had amassed. He said it's like going out and trying to grab the wind. That's how he felt about all of that. Verse 18, "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to a man who will come after me." Solomon says, all this stuff, I leave it to someone else. You continue on in the passage and he says, "And this person who I leave it to, who knows if he's worked for anything or not?" Solomon says that one event is a great equalizer. It happens to all of us. I used to make the statement that you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. One of my good preaching buddies sent me a text one time with a picture that had a U-Haul hooked to a hearse. So now I have to say, you don't normally see U-Hauls attached to hearses. You've heard the story, I'm sure, about the man who had passed away. He had a great fortune. And he wanted to be buried with all of his money. As the will was read, it was stipulated in there that he wanted his wealth buried with him. And his wife was just flabbergasted. So you know what she did? She wrote him a check. That's right. Y'all, our stuff is temporary. It doesn't last. It isn't eternal. It ultimately does not matter. Third and finally, the earth is temporary. Our lives are temporary. Our stuff's temporary. Even this earth is temporary. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of person ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness?" Y'all, the earth and all that's on it is temporary. One day it'll be gone. It'll be burned up. And Peter asks a very important question. Realizing that, how should we be living? Recognizing the temporary nature of all of these things. The author of the song says that he had placed his treasure somewhere else. He had placed it in heaven. Jesus extolled the value of that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Y'all, heaven isn't going anywhere. Makes sense to invest there. Our hearts will be there, and one day we will be as well. There is coming a day when we will all reside somewhere else, heaven or hell. Let's live our life for Christ, because this world, number one, is only a temporary dwelling. Number two, one day there will be a tearful reunion. One day there will be a tearful reunion. Look at verse 2 with me. "They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." When we say there'll be a tearful reunion, we're not talking about tears of sadness, friends, but tears of joy. I can't wait for that reunion in heaven. Those friends and family members who were faithful and have gone on before me, I'll be reunited with them. Those Christians of the first century that we read about, Peter and Paul, James, Thomas, and others, we'll get to meet them. The giants of the Old Testament that we read about, Noah and Abraham, Moses, Joseph, David, Joshua, Daniel. But most importantly, I'll get to see God face to face. I'll get to see my Savior who died for me face to face. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 18, as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, the church there, the individuals, had gotten the wrong idea about Jesus' second coming. They were worried that friends and relatives who died before Jesus returned were just gone, that they would never see him again. And so as Paul writes to them, he writes to try to correct that idea. Beginning in verse 13, he says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." Paul said, those of us who are still here when Jesus returns, we're not going to go in front of those who have already died. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Paul says, there's coming a day when we'll all be reunited. And we'll all get to go home. There's a poem by Henry Van Dyke entitled, "I'm Standing Upon the Seashore." He writes, "I'm standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, 'There she is gone.' 'Gone where?' 'Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large and massed and whole as when she left my side. Her diminished size is not in her, or not in me, is in me, not in her, sorry. And just at the moment that someone at my side says, 'There she is gone,' there are other eyes watching. and other voices ready to take up the glad shout. Here she comes. Friends, I cannot wait for that joyous reunion. Number three. In verse 4, we see a triumphant song. A triumphant song. In verse 4, just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Friends, those who are faithful, those who inherit heaven as their home, will have every reason to sing triumphantly because we made it. That ultimate goal, victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 51 through 58, Paul writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must be put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul says we've got victory over all of that. And we have that victory through Christ. Death is no fun. But one day we won't have to worry about that anymore. We won't have to worry about those separations. We won't have to worry about those goodbyes. Because we have victory. Victory over all of that. Through Jesus. 1 John 5:4, John writes, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." Friend, if you're a Christian, you're born of God. If you're a Christian, you have victory. Jesus already paid the price. Jesus already secured the victory. And He wants to give it to us. In Revelation 15 and verse 2, John writes, "And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands." You read through the book of Revelation, and I know y'all been studying this in Miss Ann's class. It's all about victory. The imagery that we see in there, yep, we can assign values to some of those things, but the point of it all, and if we're not careful, we miss this message in the book of Revelation, it's all about victory. The beast is conquered. The things that rise out of the sea are defeated. Over and over, we see this idea that we will have victory. I've told you before, you can sum up the book of Revelation in two words: we win. That's the message of it. In Romans 8, 35 through 39, Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things," watch him now, "now in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him," Jesus, "who loved us." Paul says we're not just conquerors. He didn't just say we're conquerors. He said we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did Paul say? Victory, victory, victory. Faithful child of God has it. That ultimate victory of heaven. This world is not my home. This earth is a temporary dwelling. For the faithful heaven awaits, there will be a tearful reunion, and we will sing a triumphant song. But that awaits the faithful Christian, which raises a question this morning. Are you one? Do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Have you turned from sin? Have you confessed Him as Lord? Have you put Him on in baptism to have your sins washed away, to be added to the Lord's church? Maybe you have done that, but you haven't been living like you should. You got people who love you here, who care about you, who want to spend eternity with you. Friend, will you come home? The chorus of the song reads, O Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Friend, where will your home be when this life is over? Friend, if it's not heaven, make sure that it is. As together we stand and sing.